I don't know what your Christmas traditions involve. I don't know whether you're going for the Old Faithful, the turkey. I know Jack's got a goose. Maybe some of you have got perhaps beef or something different. We're traditionalists in our house, so we're having the turkey and all the different things. What do your Christmas traditions involve? Lawrence, I don't know, you're married now for the first Christmas. Unfortunately, not able to spend it with your wife, but you've got to get used to a whole new set of traditions from your wife's family. So I don't know what's in store for you. Maybe a little bit different to what the Humphreys normally do. We have all these traditions. One of the traditions that maybe some of you have got, 3 o'clock on Christmas afternoon. Does anyone have a 3 o'clock on Christmas afternoon? Jan, do you have a 3 o'clock at Christmas? Oh, your parents, right, okay. It's a real tradition then, isn't it? It goes back a long way. All right, 3 o'clock Christmas afternoon at the Queen's Speech. The Queen's Speech. I think the Queen's speeches are getting rather good Christmas by Christmas. I rather look forward to the Queen's speech. Well, this morning I'm going to give you a little sneak preview of the Queen's speech, because I know what the Queen is going to say, or at least a bit of what the Queen is going to say. Now, that makes it sound as though I've got a hotline to Buckingham Palace. I assure you that's not the case. But I did read the Daily Telegraph this morning, and there was a little thing in the Daily Telegraph to say something about what the Queen's going to say this afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Queen's speech. She's going to talk about darkness. She's going to tell us that the world is sometimes a pretty dark place. And we've seen, particularly in Syria, but certainly not only there, we've seen lots of darkness, haven't we? And sometimes it maybe feels as though the darkness is winning and the darkness is gaining. But then the Queen, I am told reliably by the Daily Telegraph, is going to say this. She's going to say that there's a light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. We read it earlier from John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 5. A light, or the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that's really what I want to say and remind us of this morning. You see, there is a darkness in the world, isn't there? Not just because it's gloomy and a little bit miserable outside, but there is a darkness. There's a darkness to humanity sometimes, isn't there? We've seen it on the streets in Paris recently. We've seen it in all kinds of areas of lives. And the Bible tells us, John chapter 3 tells us, Jesus' own words, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do you know that? We can see it, can't we? We can see it. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But Jesus also says, as we can see from behind me, the light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. What does that mean? Well, in John's Gospel, John tells us lots of things about the light. It's one of his favorite metaphors. And he tells us Jesus had all kinds of sayings to do with light. Here's one of them. It's perhaps the most well-known of all. It's in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. It's an incredibly bold claim, isn't it? But that's what Jesus said. I'm the light of the world. Yes, there is a darkness because men's hearts are evil, but I'm the light of the world. What's Jesus saying? All kinds of things. It's a metaphor full of richness. One of the things he's clearly saying there is that he's not evil, that he is good and kind and merciful. The Bible tells us he went around doing good. What a wonderful description of somebody that is. He went around doing good. Would they say that of you? Would they say it of me? But they did say it of Jesus. He went around doing good. He's the light of the world. In fact, we know because he was not just man, but the God-man, he never ever sinned. He never did anything that was wrong. He never said anything that was wrong. He never even thought anything that was wrong. He's the light of the world. And in fact, we read earlier in John chapter 1 again, in verse 9, that he was the true light which gives light to every man. You see, if we want to be free from this darkness, we need the true light. And the Bible tells us that's Jesus Christ. He is the true light that gives light to every man. Why is it that people are wicked and evil? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly, isn't it, that we're all sinners. We've all come into the world sinful, and we've all come as sinners. How are we going to be free from that? Well, not just by trying harder to do better, because that doesn't work. You know that, don't you? You've tried it yourself. You've tried harder to do better, and it might have made a little improvement, but it didn't stop you sinning. It didn't clean you up entirely. No, if we want to be free from sin, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need true light. And here we have this wonderful promise, and it is glorious, in John 1 verse 5, that there is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. You see, as we look around the world, it's easy to despair. It's easy to feel as though everything's getting worse and worse and worse. To feel as though maybe there's no real hope. But Jesus says, absolutely there's hope. There's a real and certain hope. And that real and certain hope is Jesus Christ himself, because he is the light that shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Some of you maybe will have grown up knowing this verse from some of the older versions of the Bible, and you might have a translation that reads something like, the darkness did not understand it, or the darkness did not comprehend it. The reason for those different translations is the Greek word literally means to grasp. And sometimes we say, oh, I'm struggling with this, I can't grasp it. Maybe you've got, perhaps you'll have a present for Christmas, maybe a new television or something like that, and you'll get this instruction manual, like, oh, I just can't grasp this. And we sometimes use the word grasp like that, don't we? But that's not how John's using it here. John's using the word, the Greek word that literally means grasp, in the way that we might grasp somebody. Maybe we're chasing after them. That's the picture, that here is darkness, chasing after light, trying to kill the light. But darkness can't do it. It can't take hold of light. It can't grasp the light. It can't destroy the light. And light always overcomes darkness, doesn't it? Light always overcomes darkness. So imagine you've got a really, really light room. All right? You've got a really light room. And if I was to say to you, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring lots of darkness into the room. Okay? I'll bring lots of darkness into the room. I'll turn the darkness on. And then it won't be light anymore. It doesn't make sense, does it? You can't do that. Darkness is not a thing. It's an absence of something. But if you're in a completely dark room, and it's pitch black, and you say, I'm gonna destroy and defeat the darkness. You just need a single light, don't you? And the darkness is gone. That's what Jesus is saying. He's the light of the world. And darkness flees from that light. Well, how can we be sure that what Jesus is saying is true? How can we be sure? Well, I could say, of course, well, it's Jesus. Of course it's true. And that's right. But actually, we're told in John's Gospel some reasons, just very briefly, why these things, we know these things are true. How can we be sure that the light will overcome the darkness and not the other way around? How can we be sure? Well, verse 4 gives us one reason. It tells us this in verse 4. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, when we realize that this light is the Lord Jesus Christ, when we realize that the life that he has, surely that should give us confidence. Surely that should give us confidence. I don't know about you, but several years ago, we went over to energy-saving light bulbs. Alright? Now they do save energy, these light bulbs, but certainly the old ones, when they first came out, were really dim and miserable, weren't they? And you turn them on, you've got to wait about 5 or 10 minutes before you can really see anything, certainly see well enough perhaps to read or anything like that. They're really these kind of miserable bulbs that are just really rather dim and not very effective at all. Is that the sort of light that you get from Jesus? Oh no, he's the saviour of the world. He's the Son of God. It's not some pathetic little light that you and I might shine. This is God himself. It's his life that we're talking about here. We can be confident, surely confident, that he can overcome And it's his life that we're talking about here. And he will overcome darkness. In fact, we'll see he has overcome darkness. What else can give us confidence that this is going to happen, that Jesus Christ really will overcome darkness? Well, look at verse 3. It says here, all things were made through Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Isn't that to fill us with confidence? Look around, John is saying, at everything you can see. Absolutely everything. Look out of the window, look at the clouds in the sky. If you had a telescope, look out into the distant galaxy, see all the stars and the planets. Look at all that. Look at all that great vastness. Look at all the wonder of the detail. If you had the smallest microscope, John wasn't thinking of microscopes and telescopes, of course, but you get the idea. If you had the smallest microscope and look down, what would you see? Well, you see that everything that exists was made through Jesus Christ. And without him, nothing was made that was made. You see, Jesus Christ is Lord over all the universe. This is not some tin pot ruler we're talking about here. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the whole universe. Everything was made through him. That's how glorious and powerful he is. Do you think darkness is going to overcome that? Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning? Do you remember that? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then we have this wonderful little phrase, don't we, in Genesis chapter 1. It says, he also made the stars. I don't know about you and what you're doing at Christmas lunch, but it can be quite a stressful time, I'm told, at Christmas lunch. All right, but I do have a job, all right, at Christmas lunch. I carve the turkey. That's my job, all right? And I usually make a cup of tea as well. It's about all I'm trusted with, all I can manage, all right? Imagine this Christmas dinner with all the trimmings, all right? And you might say, oh, I made this wonderful cake. Oh, yes. Wonderful pudding and all of these things, handmade, all of this wondrous stuff. And you might then say, well, I also peeled the sprouts, or I also made a cup of tea, or something like that. Yeah, I just also make, these are the little things. You know, anyone could do that, really. But with God, such is his glory and such is his wonder, when God says, oh, I also made this. He's not talking about peeling the sprouts or boiling the carrots. Oh, I also made the stars. Isn't it glorious? Isn't it wonderful? But that's what he did. And John says, actually, it was through Jesus Christ that the stars were made. He is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And then the final thing that we're told here by John, it's right at the beginning of the chapter. Why can we be confident that this is true? Well, we're told this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is divine. Jesus Christ is God. You see, that's the wonderful message of the Bible, that despite the darkness, and there is darkness, the Bible's really clear about that, despite the darkness, there is light, there is hope, there is a future. The Bible's incredibly clear. The darkness will not overcome the light. And you see, as we think about what Jesus says about the light, you might sometimes think, well, I see all this darkness in the world. I wish God would do something about it. I wish God would sort out the problems in Syria, for example. I wish God would shine his light into that darkness. It's good to pray that. I pray that too, that God would do that. But I don't want us to miss something important. Because it's too easy to pray that God would shine his light on other people. And God would fix them. But actually, we all need to be fixed too, don't we? We need God's light. We're in darkness too. That's what the Bible teaches us. And we need to know the light of the world. We need to receive the light of the world. We're not going to fix ourselves. No, no, we need Jesus to shine his light on all of us, to give us the light of life. I wonder whether that's your great hope at this Christmas. Because that's really what Jesus is talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about giving his light to men and women and to boys and girls. And we can know then the light of life. And as Paul was talking about earlier, what's it going to be like in 50 years' time or 100 years' time or 150 years' time? Well, it could be real darkness, couldn't it? For you. It could be real darkness. Or it could be wonderful, glorious light. Remember what the Bible says about heaven? It tells us there's no sun in heaven. You don't need a sun in heaven because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. I wonder what the future holds for you. Do you know that light of life? The light of the world? Because Jesus Christ didn't just come into this world to fix other people. He came in this world to give light to us too. I hope you know that. And I hope that part of the real meaning of Christmas for you is knowing not just that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but knowing that he came for you.